Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord our Savior Jesus Christ, who was baptized and anointed with Holy Spirit and with power. Dear fellow Christians, imagine if you were a Jewish person living in the Old Testament. There were so many laws and regulations that dictated your life and how you were to live. There were laws that said you had to bring forward different types of offerings, such as burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sin offerings. There were laws that told you how you were to dress yourself. Men were not allowed to shave their beards. You couldn't have tattoos. And you couldn't even wear clothing made of different material. And there were all those laws that told you what you could and could not eat. Nowadays, we look at those laws and we are glad we don't have to follow all of them because Christ is the fulfillment of the law. But for the Jewish Christians in the early days of the Christian church, this was a hard thing for them to grasp and understand. Back then, the Jewish Christians thought that a Gentile, a person who was not Jewish, had to become a Jew in order to be saved, that they had to follow all of those laws. But God never said that a person had to become a Jew in order to be saved. And here we see evidence of that. Here we see that God loves the whole world, all people, equally. So in this account, we have Peter giving a speech. But to whom is he speaking? He is not speaking to Jewish people. He is speaking to a man named Cornelius and his household. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was a Gentile. Now, according to the law, Jews were not supposed to associate with Gentiles. This was the very reason why God gave the Jews all these laws to follow. Because by following these laws, the Jews were distancing themselves from the practices of the Gentiles who were spiritually unclean. Therefore, why is Peter associating and talking to these Gentiles? It's because earlier Peter had said, God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. But how did God reveal that to Peter, that no man should be considered impure or unclean? God revealed it by giving Peter a vision. One day Peter fell asleep, and he saw a sheet coming down from heaven full of unclean animals. God told Peter to get up, to kill those animals, and to eat them. Peter refused to do this because the law which God had given to the Jews said they would be unclean if they ate these animals. But three times, God told Peter to do this. And after the third time, God said, "Do not call anything impure that I have made clean." And then the vision ended. Peter contemplated in his mind what this vision meant. But while he was thinking about the vision, God sent him to preach to Cornelius and his household. It was at this moment that Peter finally understood what the vision meant. It clicked for him, and he realized that the Gentiles were not to be considered impure or unclean. That is why Peter said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism." Just think about how true that is, that God does not show any favoritism. You could think of the passage of John 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." God loved the whole world, all people equally, by sending his Son to this world. You can think of the passage of 1 John 2, verse 2, that says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. God loves the whole world, all people equally, by having his Son die for the sins of all people. There is no one for whom Jesus did not die. You can think of the passage of 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that says, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God loves the whole world, all people equally, for he wants all people to hear the message of Jesus Christ. You can think of the passage, Matthew 28, verse 19, that says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God loves the whole world, all people equally, for he established baptism for all people. God does not show any favoritism. But there are people out there that will accuse God of showing favoritism. In fact, they can look at what Peter says next and turn it to mean something else. Peter said, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The message of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, was first sent to the Israelite people. And therefore, people may go, aha! See, God does show favoritism because he sent that message first to the Gentiles. I'm sorry, he sent the message first to the Israelites. Or they may say God shows favoritism because he chose Israel to be his only chosen nation out of the world. Now, it is true that God chose Israel to be his own. It is true that God established his law with Israel and not with the other nations. It is true that God deeply cared for and protected his nation of Israel from the other nations. But this does not mean that God favored the Israelites over against the Gentiles. There are accounts in the Old Testament where God reached out to the Gentile people and saved them. The biggest example of this is the prophet Jonah. God sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, to the Gentile nation of Assyria. And after he preached to them, those Gentiles repented of their sins and put their trust in God. God did not favor the Israelites over against the other nations. Instead, he had entrusted this message of salvation to Israel so that they would be a beacon of light to the Gentiles and share that message with them. Unfortunately, it was the Israelites who thought that God favored them above all else. They took pride in the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. They thought that they were superior to the Gentile nations, and anyone who wasn't a Jew was inferior to them. Now, you and I, we can shake our heads at the Israelites for thinking this way, but are we really any different? God loves the whole world, all people equally, but do we? Do we show any favoritism? Just think about our own congregation. Do we favor one another over others? There can be people in this congregation that we get along with well. We have the same interests and likes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then when we see someone else that maybe we don't get along with, that we don't have similar interests and likes, and therefore we never talk to them, we don't even say hello to them, we won't even sit down next to them and eat with them during fellowship, but instead we will just leave them sitting all by themselves. As we sit in our pews, we may rejoice with those that we are worshiping with, but then we can look across the church and see someone else sitting in the pew, and we can think, what are you doing here? You don't belong in my church. In fact, it would be better if you were not here. There can be two different people in our church who are suffering. And we can favor one person and be concerned about them and pray and talk to them. But the other person, we don't even think about them. We don't pray for them and we're not concerned about them. And don't forget the one person that we love to favor the most. And that's ourselves. We can think that how we look at life and what we say and what we do is never wrong, but always right. And even when we are wrong, we may shift the blame to other people and say it's other people's fault and not my own. If we can't even love the whole congregation, all people in our church equally, then how are we not going to show favoritism to those outside of our church doors? We may have an idea that certain type of people deserve to hear the message of Christ, that they will accept it, they will listen to it. But then there are certain type of people that, no, they won't really listen to me, they won't accept it. We may think that there are certain type of people who live good enough lives that they deserve to hear the message. But those who are criminals, those who are sinners and commit so many wrongs, they don't deserve to hear the message of the gospel. This shouldn't be among us, but it happens. And it shouldn't have been with the Israelites back then, but it did happen. And it's for this reason that God should not love us equally as the rest of the world and all people. But remember that God does not show favoritism. God loves the whole world, all people, equally. And that is why he sent his servant, his one and only son, Jesus Christ. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah said about this servant. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is why Jesus was baptized, so that God could anoint him with the Holy Spirit and with power to fulfill all righteousness. At his baptism, Jesus began his ministry to all people. And when you look at his ministry, you can see how he did not show any favoritism. If Jesus only favored the rich, he never would have reached out to the poor, but he did. If Jesus only favored the poor, he never would have reached out to the rich, people like the tax collectors, but he did. If Jesus only favored those who were considered to live decent lives, he never would have reached out to those who were considered sinners, but he did. And if Jesus only favored those who were considered sinners and never reached out to people who thought they lived decent lives, people like the Pharisees, but he did reach out to them. If Jesus only favored the Jews, he never would have reached out to the Gentiles, but he did. We have at least one account where Jesus traveled outside of Israel to reach out to a Canaanite woman, and he healed her daughter. And when you look at Jesus' crucifixion, here you truly see how Jesus did not show any favoritism. The Roman soldiers, his enemies, who nailed him to the cross and mocked him, Jesus did not become angry with them and pour out his wrath on them. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them." The thief on the cross who turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus did not turn away from him, but reached out to him and promised that man paradise. In his ministry, Jesus loved the whole world, all people, equally. And Jesus continues to love the whole world and all people equally. And that applies to you. When you were brought forward to be baptized, Jesus did not look at you and reject you because of who you are. He welcomed you He washed away your sins, and he made you his own child. Therefore, as baptized children of God, we let God take our hand and lead us on our way. We ask God to forgive us for the times that we have shown favoritism. We ask God to move us to love the whole world, all people, equally. Therefore, do not consider others more worthy to be here in church than others, but rejoice that we have all gathered together to hear God speaking to us in his word. Do not look down on those that you may not get along with well and you don't have the same interests and likes, but welcome each other as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that we are all one body in Christ. And Scripture tells us that since we are one body, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Therefore, don't favor yourself over others, but humble yourself and serve one another. And ask God to help us to share this message of the gospel with all people so that we do not show favoritism to anyone else. And God will forgive us, and he will help us to love the whole world and all people equally. And why will he do that? It's because God does not show favoritism. He loves the whole world, all people equally. He sent his son, his one and only son, into this world. He had his servant, Jesus Christ, die for the sins of all people. He wants all people to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to be baptized into the name of his son. Therefore, may this message move all of us to not show favoritism, but to love all people, the whole world equally, just like God does. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.